The word today is transfiguration. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Jesus took Peter, James, and John to a high mountain where he showed them his divine nature. This was a glimpse into the glory of God, and they had to be sure of their faith in him. Here to further explain that special moment is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Transfiguration.
We have a biblical record of the transfiguration of Jesus in the 17th chapter of Matthew. As a matter of fact, the first 9 verses there of the 17th chapter of Matthew talk about the transfiguration. You know, it was an amazing thing, and it's very understandable to me that Jesus would take with him his beloved disciples, Peter, James, and John, and let them experience this particular incident. It was on a mountaintop, and of course there's been a lot of debate in terms of historians and people that study geography to try and figure out where they were coming from. We know they were very near Caesarea Philippi, which is up north, and there are several mountains around that area there. One is Mount Tabor, and it possibly could be that this event took place on Mount Tabor, but I kind of doubt it because there are foundations there that go way, way back to a temple that was on top of Mount Tabor. And today there's a huge church that has been built there too. It's a fairly high mountain, you know, as far as that goes. It could be that Mount Tabor was the site, but I would prefer Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is only about 17, 18 miles away, a little further north and a little bit east, but it was a higher mountain. It's quite high. In fact, you can see snow on it most days, and there are ski resorts there and so on. And Mount Hermon, no doubt, is where Jesus took his 3 disciples and went with them partway up that mountain, maybe not all the way to the top. And there is where the transfiguration took place. The physical body of Jesus, the earthly body with which he was born into this world by the Virgin Mary, was transferred, was translated, whatever word you want to use, transfigured into his glorious body, into his spiritual body. It was an obvious revelation of his divinity, of his godhood. No doubt it was very helpful to the disciples because they were going to be going through a lot of trauma and a lot of doubts and things like that. But in addition to that, they had to be reassured and totally, completely satisfied that Jesus Christ was God's Son, that he was true God. And I think it's interesting, too, that in this text, Matthew 17, when Moses appears and Elijah appears, it says that Moses and Elijah were in a discussion with Jesus. I think that's very interesting. No doubt God used Moses and Elijah to reaffirm, so to speak, and to re-strengthen Jesus, because Jesus knew he was on the way to Jerusalem to be crucified. And he knew what the entire circumstance of his decision was to give his life for the salvation of every human being and that their sins would be borne by him. And no doubt Moses and Elijah both reassured him of this and comforted him of this. In fact, the appearance of Moses and Elijah are incredible. One from the Old Testament source of the giving of the law of God. You remember when Moses went up Mount Sinai and he came down and his face was radiant from being in the presence of God. And you remember how everything went bad there because the people, while Moses was gone, had collected gold and built a golden calf, which they were worshiping and dancing in front of. And just everything had gone bad, just terribly bad. And as a result, Moses was so angry that he threw down the two tablets of the law and had to go back up again into the mountain and go to be with God again in order to get the commandments re-given to him. You know, that whole incident of the giving of the law of God, you can read about in the book of Exodus as the people were crossing the desert there and stopped at Mount Sinai, where Moses went to be in the presence of God. Well, Moses, as the lawgiver, so to speak, should remind us of something. You know, Peter, when he saw Moses and Elijah there with Jesus, was so overwhelmed and so impressed that he actually, I guess you would say, was so impressed that he said, I'm going to build three little tabernacles here, three little tents. We would say three little chapels here, one for you, Jesus, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And maybe we can worship here. You see, Peter was enthused. He was excited, and he wanted to stay right there, no doubt for hours, maybe even days. And yet that wasn't to be. You know, I think we so often feel excited when we feel the presence of God and we know that we're talking with God and everything seems to be going right, and it's one of those high points. It's one of those great moments of experience spiritually, and we'd like to just stay there the rest of our lives. Well, life doesn't work that way. Jesus knew that we had to get back down off of that mountain again with his disciples, and he knew that they couldn't just stay there and experience that glorified, wonderful blessing of their being able to see his deity. He knew that there was work to do and there were things to accomplish, and so they couldn't build little chapels there. They had to get back down off of the mountain. So I like the idea that the lawgiver was there and the disciples could learn from that. You know, there is a law of God. There are statements that God made that he wants his people to follow, and he wants them to be blessed as they follow it. If we would understand the Ten Commandments properly, we would see that by living them and being obedient to them, and no one can do so perfectly, that's obvious, because of our sinful nature, we are constantly in sin in a continuous way, which is why we need to be repentant, and why we need daily forgiveness from Jesus, and why he has offered us this daily forgiveness as we come to him and repent. But it would be a constant reminder that there is a holy God, and that this God does have a will, and he wants his people to obey. In addition, the other person that appeared there was Elijah from the Old Testament, and you remember this great prophet, the prophet Elijah. In fact, the prophet Elijah was to return, and you remember how Jesus and the disciples were aware of this. In the Old Testament, it is clear that John the Baptist is referred to almost like a second coming of Elijah. And I'm not talking about reincarnation here or anything like that. I'm talking about the fact that he was a forerunner of Jesus Christ, just as Elijah was foretelling the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. So also John the Baptist was the forerunner, the immediate person that prepared the way for him, that smoothed out the rough roads, so to speak, and prepared the way for the presence of Jesus when he came. And you remember that John the Baptist, as he was talking to his disciples one day that were following him, saw Jesus walking in the distance, and he said to his disciples, follow him, he is the Messiah. He is the one that is going to come to save Israel. And so you see the role of Elijah here, no doubt was to remind again Jesus of the fulfillment of those prophecies of the Old Testament, that Jesus came in fulfillment of those prophecies. And John the Baptist, no doubt, once again was aware of the fact that he was the forerunner, the son of Elizabeth, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And so you have all of these things happening, and Peter puts it very simply about in verse 4. He says, Lord, it is good that we are here. It is good that we are here. I mean, I would like to say to each person out there in the radio audience, it is good that we are here. It's good that I'm here in the studio recording these words and looking at Matthew 17 with you. It is also good that you are there by your radio and listening to these words. It is good that you've had a chance to think of Moses again and the law of God. It is good that you had a chance again to think of Elijah the prophet and John the Baptist. It is good that we are here and that we have seen the divinity of Jesus Christ. You know, there were going to be some real tests to their faith in the very near future, and the disciples needed to be encouraged. They needed to know for sure, for certain, Jesus is true God. He is our Lord and Savior. And it's good that you and I are here too for this moment together as we meditate on the Word of God in Matthew 17. It is good because we now know once again that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is true God, and He revealed His divinity here. He revealed His Godhood here. He is not only true man born of the Virgin Mary, but He is also true God. He is from the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one true God, and the Father sent Him to earth to suffer and die in our place. And as a result of that, we now know that Jesus Christ, in both His natures, human nature, born of the Virgin Mary, divine nature, part of the triune Godhead, that He is truly our Lord and Savior. So it is good that we are here. But once again, we're not going to build a little chapel here. We're not going to erect a little tent here. We're not going to decide to stay on this mountaintop and this wonderful, wonderful spiritual experience. We know we have to go down from this mountain. We have to get involved again in the activities of the world, and we have to go and meet with people. We have to go to work. We have our daily life to live. And God knows we need experiences like this transfiguration in order to have the courage spiritually, but we also need to go on with our lives, and He will bless us and care for us and never leave us. It is good we are here.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org. to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.